Henry. Hamilton, Newcastle, New South Wales, Australia, May 22, 1899. Dear Sister Henry, I have been spending Sabbath at Newcastle. Elder Haskell is just preparing a large, old, out-of-repair home, but is well located, 10 miles from Newcastle. The name of the place is Wall's End. It is 16 miles from Currumbong. This place is now to be worked while the meeting house is being built in Hamilton. We want the suburb of Newcastle to be worked. There are about 35 now fully established. There are about 12 to be baptized, and several more are keeping the Sabbath who are not fully established. We are sure that a deep interest has been awakened all through Newcastle and Maitland, 25 miles from Newcastle. As yet, the means pledged has not yet come to us from America, with the exception of £100. But we hope the next boat will bring us the money pledged. Our building is going up in Currumbong, called by some other name than hospital, for that name involves much in this country. The lumber could not be purchased because we had not the means. But we can, if means come now, only barely enclose the building, giving the people tangible proofs that we are doing our best to accommodate the Union Conference. We expect a delegation of ministers and will counsel together in reference to advancing the work. There is the work to be done all through this city, and we have not workers nor money, only in prospect, and we live in hope. I would be much pleased to meet you at our conference, but this would be a long journey across the broad waters of the Pacific. If you are a good sailor, then it is much more pleasant, but if a poor sailor, it would be a disagreeable journey. Nevertheless, I may have to undertake the journey and again my labors be in America. I wish first to establish the work connected with my brethren in this new world. There are decided health talks given by Dr. Caro in Hamilton. There are cooking classes given once each week. There is an interest kept up here that presents subjects that are essential for all to understand. There is a health club established, and all these various lines are drawing the people. I wish more would be drawn. The ministers are now commencing their work of visiting from house to house to warn their church members to have nothing to do with Adventists. But this is a new kind of labor for the ministers, to be pastors of the flock. We have cases brought to our attention that have been and are still very critical. Miss Gow has stood as the responsible member of the drapery firm here in Newcastle. Her father and mother and sisters all look to her as the one responsible for all lines of work connected with the firm. The meetings held in this place awakened conviction. Sister Starr gave her Bible readings. The work of drawing to the truth and to make a decision was felt deeply by her. She knew the whole firm was dependent on her holding her position. She tried to get everything possible to excuse decision, but she was troubled and could not, dared not, take her position against the truth. This family sent their boy, 13 years old, to the Currumbong school after visiting the school. The boy was highly pleased and was doing well, but the cross of the Sabbath seemed too great for her to lift, for it was ever kept before her that, if she left, it would break up the establishment. She was granted a vacation and, accompanied by Sister Starr, they spent 2 weeks in Currumbong. She attended the Bible classes, 2 classes each day. She was learning and finally took her stand on the Sabbath. She returned to Newcastle and made known her purposes, but Father, Mother, and sisters all opposed her most bitterly. She was in a most trying position, whether to leave the truth or to leave her parents. They sent for their son to come from the school. He came against his will. Thus the determined battle went on day after day. Every inducement was presented, and every objection magnified, but she held, for a time, unswervingly. She decided to go to Currumbong to school, telegraphed for them to meet her at the station. Then the battle went on in her home. Next day after the telegram was sent, the mother told Elder Starr their daughter had left for a 4 weeks vacation. The father had a talk with the daughter. The result was she had left for Melbourne, and this was the doing of the father. She said she went to her father's brother. His brothers were, one a Catholic, the other an infidel. They do not give her address. We are cut off completely from any intercourse, and unless she writes herself, we shall know nothing. This is a strange affair. The mother feels they have gone too far and is troubled in regard to the matter. But here we have to leave her. She was an excellent young woman, kind, loving, affectionate, but she was not satisfied with her religious experience. One week has passed, and nothing has been heard from her. But the Lord can reach her wherever she is. We have lost all track of her, but the Lord can and will help her if she has not cast off her Lord through the great pressure brought to bear upon her. The Lord may work this matter out to His own name's glory. The Lord Jesus is a compassionate Savior. The Lord Jesus can speak to this dear soul. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Psalm 121, verse 7. The just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Hebrews 10, verse 38. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. John 8, verse 31. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Matthew 24, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Revelation 3, verse 11, 5. We have seen that which our Lord has assured us should come, divisions in families. One family by the name of Lord had 8 sons. The eldest married the daughter of a man who kept a hotel, called here Publican House, where liquor is dealt out and the sale sustained by law. His daughter embraced the truth with her husband, and her parents told her never to enter their doors again. When she was baptized, her sister and brother, older than she, took hold of her arm to force her away. The police saw the brother, and he came to him and said, "Release her. Let her follow her convictions of conscience." This policeman had watched the tent and heard the teachings in the tent, and had said that it must be that the Lord was with this people, for he had far less work to do in arresting the evil workers. He told that brother, if he did not keep his abusive tongue to himself and let this woman alone, he would arrest him for disorderly conduct. The mother and sister then came to her and cursed her and her mother-in-law, Sister Lord, who had embraced the truth. This wicked woman knelt down and told the Lord how her daughter had disgraced the family. And then she prayed that her daughter might be taken sick and the mother-in-law might be struck with sickness and never leave her bed again. In about 2 weeks, that mother, who was so bitter, was taken violently sick and died, a great sufferer. The son-in-law, Lord, and his wife went from Currenbong to the funeral. It was dinner time. The family were eating dinner. They did not ask the sister to sit at the table, and her opposing sisters left the table, declaring they would never sit at the table and eat with her. Brother and Sister Lord felt very sad and returned again to Currenbong, disowned by sisters and brothers. You see that which many souls suffer who have embraced the truth. They do this in the face of self-denial and sacrifice. Brother Lord had been in his little room as a single man to work the breaks 20 years. But when he embraced the Sabbath, he was discharged. His employer said he would have no man that kept the Sabbath in his employ. Brother Lord asked him if he could find the record on any of the books where he had failed in doing his work faithfully. He said, "You have stood as one of our most trustworthy men, and we know not how your place can be supplied, but we cannot have one who keeps Saturday to do our work." Thus you can see that both parties, believers and unbelievers, are making sacrifices. The words of the apostle are to the point, "By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world," but not on the same line. Galatians 6, verse 14. One is on the line of obedience to all of the commandments of God. For their loyalty, their business is taken from them, and they are set adrift without any money laid by. Brother Lord came to Currenbong. The only place he could find was the small, broken-down shanty for his large family. There were no houses to rent, and my own house was full. We managed to keep them one night, feed mother and father and 7 sons. The married son was living in a tent. The married daughter and her husband have found them a place somewhere. We helped as best we could to supply their necessities. We employed 3 boys, and the pay for their work just put food into their mouths. We had 2 spare stoves we set up for them and did all in our power. But you can see this is no more than we can expect. We shall find some place for them on the school land to make a home for them. two were poor families. We are helping to secure a home and a little piece of land to cultivate. There are good Sabbath keepers of excellent influence. One was a coachmaker, wheelwright builder, but he was located where he could not get work and they could not obtain the necessities of food and clothing. This is the kind of missionary work we are called out to do, and we pray the Lord to open the way for these blessed ones, whom the Lord loves. We shall look after them and secure them homes. If they can pay, they will pay, and they can pay if we give them work, which at present is abundant on the school grounds. We have employment for everyone who can work. We must gather into the net the poor and distressed and the wealthy. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the waters of life freely. Some of these poor people are the Lord's noblemen. They are the choice of the earth, have been workers, superintendents of Sabbath schools, and have worked for the church since because of their faith they were discharged. Brother Pocock has been instrumental in bringing to the truth several families. It is just such ones we wish to occupy the school grounds. They are put in office at once to help share the burdens, and are first-class workmen, but poor, very poor, in this world's goods, but rich in faith. Well, it is daylight. I have been up since 1 o'clock, writing since 2 o'clock, this letter. I do not think I can get it copied. We'll send it just as it is if I cannot. Oh, how much instruction we need from the Lord! Daily we must receive the rich current of the grace of Christ, that we may impart to the needy. We have had evidence that this part of the Lord's vineyard is to be worked. One portion of Newcastle has been receiving labor. Now another section must receive the truth, and thus take section after section until the stronghold of Satan is broken down. It is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. Luke 17, verse 1. How cruelly they treated our precious Savior, and shall we not expect the very same kind of treatment? Shall we be surprised and astonished that we are called to be partakers with Christ of his sufferings? We will pray constantly that we may have the mind that was in Christ Jesus. We now must take the cars for Kurenbong.